president. I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm
Yo! And welcome back to the fix. To the fix. Well, we get down on a get down talking about sports from a black perspective because The Fix is the blackest and realest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. We hold it down. We get it all the way down. We keep it country and we don't care because we got to tell the truth. The truth is, we got to give you the truth is. About what's going on in the world of sports. And we got to tell it from our perspective because there's too many outside perspectives that are painting the narratives. That's why we'll be looking at the TV all frowned up. I got tired of arguing with the TV, and I said, God damn it, I'm going to make my own show. So here we are. I'm Joseph Ward, and I'm your host. So for the next hour and a half, make sure you kick back, take your shoes off, relax, get you some chips and stuff, get some popcorn, and vibe with me as we talk about what happened in the last week of sports, the stuff that we care about, not all the other stuff, but stuff that we care about. So, you know what I'm saying? I get down on the get down. That's how we do. But, you know, let's get to some housekeeping. The Fix is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips. It's profiles of the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora that you normally would not learn about either in school or just through regular websites or other things. On the Shoulders of Giants does the research for you. It does the digging for you. All you have to do is go to the website, and there's over 150 profiles of African people from around the world. So you'll be there learning for a long time. So make sure you visit www.ontheshouldersone.com to learn, to go visit the On the Shoulders of Giants blog and learn as much as you want to. Also visit www.ontheshoulders.org to go to the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit website so you can learn more about the nonprofit side. And make sure you get a copy of both the books, On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 1 and 2. Volume 1 is North America, Volume 2 is Central America, so you can learn more about your sung and unsung heroes from both continents. Hey, man. So, this last week of sports, it's been relatively quiet outside of what's been going on with Cam Newton. Well, I ain't going to say relatively quiet. WNBA Finals, we definitely got to get to that WNBA Finals wrapped up, so got to give y'all my update on that. Major League Baseball has started. The playoffs have started, and I say Major League Baseball has started because, to me, the season don't start until the playoffs start because 182 games, that's a long goddamn time. That's a lot of damn games. But the Major League Baseball playoffs have started, so I'm going to give y'all information about the American League Division Series and the National League Division Series, right? You know, I got to do my HBCU spotlight, so I got to get into that, tell you what's going on. Jamel Hill, we got to talk about Jamel Hill one more time, not from the good perspective like we did last time. You know, we got she tripping this time, so we got to pull her card on some shit, right? Give y'all a recap on college football and getting to my weekly rant where I just blow a gasket on things that I'm tired of fucking happening. So, you know, we got to get it out. Get that stuff off my chest. So, hey, man, let's go ahead and do this. So, my HBCU spotlight, you always know we kick it off with that. Today, we are putting our spotlight on the Bowie State Bulldogs, who are now 6-0, right? So, not 1-0, not 2-0, not 3-0, not 4-0, not 5, but 6-0. Now, they played Chowan University. I've never heard of them. But anyway, Chowan University, they were the opponents of the Bowie State Bulldogs. And the Bowie State Bulldogs, and this I'm reading your article, courtesy of HBCUsports.com. And the Bulldogs, they basically had 501 total yards of offense and only held Chowan University. And Chowan University, they're the Hawks. I've never heard of them. But anyway, the Hawks had 298 total yards of offense. That's not horrible, but it's not good, especially if you gave up 591 yards. Four was 41-10. Yeah, Chowan got their ass whooped. Right. But Junior Hall, who was the quarterback for Bowie State, he threw for 346 yards and 3 touchdowns, right? He also led the team in rushing with 93 yards on 11 carries and 1 score. He only played 3 quarters because they was putting that damn thing on Chowan. And so Junior Hall only played 3 quarters, but he managed to rack up 346 passing yards and 93 rushing. He ran by a 7-game record for receptions with 12 receptions for 175 yards and 2 touchdowns. Senior Johnny Littlejohn and Junior Taylor Johnson accounted for 5 tackles each on the Bulldog defense, which held the Hawks to 298 total yards. God damn. Bowie State had 35 total first downs. Damn, Chowan, you can't give up 35 first downs. How the hell you expect? You can't even win. Your defense never get off the field giving up 35 first downs. God damn, that's why they dropped 41 on y'all. So Chowan only had 15 total first downs. Damn, they gave up 5 first downs. Damn, your defense just said, fuck it, huh? They just can't. And the game said, you know what, fuck it. You know, we ain't in. We're never heard of us. So they just showed up to the game and just, well, anyway. So Bowie State goes on to see why Chowan goes to 4. Therefore, NTIAA North. And so basically that was Bowie State's first win in the CIA North. But they are 3-0 and the CIAA is 6-0 overall. And Chowan goes to 2-4 overall, 2-1 in the CIAA and 0-1 in the CIA North. Yeah, man, damn. But shout out to Bowie State. Bowie State, a small HBCU. Not many people really know about Bowie State, but you know, over spotlights, we're going to try to do our best to bring light to ideas and things that they're doing within the sports realm. You know how they do, because black, you know, let's be real. It was a time when these HBCUs were the best college football teams in the country because they had the best talent because they had all the black players. So, parents, once again, I'm stressing. Sending our children to HBCUs, but us holding these HBCUs accountable to make sure our children get the best experience and be put in the best positions to not just become great employees for white businesses, but assets to the community, being able to build their own enterprises and build up other black businesses as well. You know, that's what we should be training our students for. But it was a time when HBCU football was the best brand of football out there because they had all the black players. And these white schools found out that, hey, if they can get them some Negroes on their team to run them balls, to throw them balls and catch them balls and hit them balls and shoot their baskets, that they can start winning. And so now, like, I'm from Tallahassee, right? And this is my little rant in the middle of my HBCU spotlight. So y'all better. I'm from Tallahassee, and I was born in 1984. I've been really into football since 1989, since I was 5 years old. There was a time when football teams would come to Tallahassee and always leave with a loss. It was at Brad Memorial Stadium playing for the Ames University, whether it was at Doak Campbell Stadium playing for State University, but specifically Brad Stadium, Florida A&M University. You was not coming into Bragg winning because FAMU had talent. FAMU was getting talent because the only competition there was at the time really was Florida State, Florida, Miami, and BCU. But Miami wasn't necessarily that, even though FAMU do get a lot of people from Miami, a lot of players from Miami, but FAMU still was able to get their share of the picks. And there was a time where Miami, even Miami and Florida State, like in the 70s, Miami, Florida State, and Florida wasn't getting the black players. They were going to FAMU because FAMU was putting that thing on Miami and all these other schools. FAMU won the national championship in, what, 77? Either 77 or 78. FAMU won the national championship. So there was a time where these HBCUs were the dominant schools when it comes to football because they had the talent. Now, our black players are these predominantly white institutions, and now they are having the best sports programs because they're getting the talent. So two things, like I said, we need to do. Not only send our children to HBCUs, make sure we hold these HBCUs accountable to make sure that our children are getting the best experience, whether they're athletes, whether it's through the athletic realm or the academic realm. But I just feel like sending our children to these PWIs, you're sending them to spaces where the people don't really care about them. They're commodities. They're, you know, they're just cogs in the wheel. And once they're done with them, once they don't need them anymore, they throw them to the wayside. And I just think black players will get a better experience, a better overall experience of college by going to HBCU. I went to HBCU myself, Florida A&M University, the highest of Seven Hills, and I had a great experience. But, you know, there's a lot that go to it because now FAMU, like specifically, I can only really speak on FAMU and BCU being here in Florida. But even BCU somehow, I don't know what they're doing, probably because their football program is better than FAMU's right now. But even BCU is able to land a little better talent. But think about this, though. There's Florida State, Florida, Miami, USF, UCF, FIU, and FAU. So you have all those schools, plus you can throw BCU in there, all those schools competing against FAMU to get talent. But if we're talking about HBCU versus PWI, yeah, once again, let's count. You got Florida State, Florida, Miami, South Florida, Central Florida, Florida Atlantic, and Florida International. So that's seven schools that are not HBCUs in the state of Florida that are mining the talent from the black communities. And now the talent that are going to these HBCUs are not necessarily the best of the best. I'm not saying the players are garbage, but these PWIs are getting most of our talent. So once again, my little mini rant inside my HBCU spotlight. So what? I did it. So what? So the second part of my HBCU spotlight goes to Mississippi Valley State, which has been awarded for the highest male athletic graduation rate in the state of Mississippi. Male athletes have been making big wins inside the classroom, and they have the trophy to prove it. All right. So Mississippi Valley State was the recipient of the David Halbrook Award for Academic Achievement Among Athletes and Men's Public University Division on October 3rd during the 84th Annual Halbrook Awards Luncheon, right? It was hosted at Mississippi University as part of the Mississippi Association of Colleges and Universities Annual Conference, and the annual event is organized to recognize colleges and universities that achieve and maintain a high academic standard for student athletes, which in turn encourages high graduation rates. one time for Mississippi Valley State. All right, so the Mississippi Valley State acting president, Gerald Briggs, said that earning the coveted award is indicative of the institute's theme, one team, one goal, one valley in motion. Okay. One time for y'all theme. Okay. Yeah. The president went on to state, we're really doing some great positive things at MVSU, Mississippi Valley State, and receiving this award shows that our male athletes are not only performing in the classroom, but they're also graduating, and that's really what we're all about as a university. Make sure that these athletes are getting what they need to get when they go to these schools, not just going to play football and dropping out becoming Southside legends. And I'll tell you about Southside legends a little later, right? Briggs went on to say that outperforming the other seven public Mississippi universities is not only a testament to the hard work and dedication of the students, but to the faculty and staff as well. And a big stick it to y'all in the face of Mississippi State and Ole Miss and all those other white institutions. And I say that because the relevance of HBCUs is always questioned for white folk, and that shit pissed me off. For you to have the gall to really ask a person what's the relevance of an all-black institution? Hell, what's the relevance of an all-white institution? What's the purpose of having an institution that's only looking for white people? What's the relevance of that in this world, in this day and age? Right? But that's why I love this so much. I love the academic achievement because these young men are getting more than just time in college. They're getting a degree. And hopefully they were taught how to use the information that they acquired. Because as a college graduate myself, I understand that it's more than just getting that degree. It's being able to use that information that you got. And you have to be able to use it, make connections. Making your connections in college. Making your connections after college. Doing your best, putting yourself in the best position to win. But shout out to Mississippi Valley State for being recognized with the award. I mean, god damn, I mean, that's good. The David Halbrook Award for Academic Achievement Among Athletes. That's what's up. I love this so much because I see so many black parents, like I said last week, see so many black parents shoving their children into athletics and thinking that the NFL is the only way to enrich their children's lives and their lives, who think the NFL is the only way, or the MLB, or for our, and see, that's the thing. Our community don't even look at the MLB, even though the MLB hand out bigger checks, right? And there's less taxing on the body than football is, but it's first football, then basketball. We look at those as two of the main routes to get out the hood. You heard what Biggie said, either you're slinging crack rock or you got a wicked jump shot. And I say that because even now in our community, it's either drugs, rapping, or sports. Think about that. Drugs, rapping, or sports. If you're not doing one of those three, you ain't keeping it real. Or it seems like the vision is so narrow that those are the only three paths that we think that we can take. And so once you get out of the dope game, you go to rapping. Or if you try sports and it didn't work, then you try rapping. And if that didn't work, you try trapping. We got to show our sons and daughters something different. But I love this for the black men of Mississippi State, Mississippi Valley State University, for achieving these awards. And as always, you know my studio audience is up in here. So they got to give a round of applause as soon as they start to work. Man, this stuff always ghetto, man. Watch my studio audience come in all late. It's all ghetto stuff, man. It's the fix, though. Hell, it don't even matter, man. I'm going to just keep... There they go. God damn it. There they go. There they go. There go my studio audience. One time, Mississippi Valley State. Studio audience coming in all late. One time, Mississippi Valley State. for receiving a David Halbert Award for academic achievement among their athletes. All right. That was my little, that's my little transition music. That's my transition music. I know I'm crazy. I don't care. All right. Moving on. Something that I'm a little, but I got to call it. And I got to call it. Jamel here. You are on the radar. We got to talk. We got to holler at you, Jamel. We got beef with you, Jamel. Now, the last time we were talking about you, Jamel, who's defending you. Now we got to get in your ass. Right? So there was an article that was written by a gentleman. I'm not going to say his name. I don't want to say his name. There's an article written by a gentleman. I've read the article about three times. And the article basically was saying that straight black men are the white men of the black community. The article did not lend any facts or realistic information to really paint the picture. No stats, no links, no supporting documentation or anything to really hammer home the idea of black men being, of straight black men being the white men of the black community. And Jamel Hill, coming off the heels of straight black men, to her defense, retweets this article in support of this article, saying that I guess her idea is that this article, that article struck a nerve with her. The article hit home with her, I'm guessing, and she agrees with the article that black men are the white men of the black community. Now, my problem with you, Jamel, first of all, before I get deep into it, I don't expect Jamel to look at this situation that just happened with Michael Smith and the other black guy from ESPN standing up for her. I don't expect her to look at that single incident and say, okay, well, black men are valued. Black men are upstanding. Black men are, you know, are our sisters. I wouldn't expect her to say that based off this one incident. But I wasn't expecting this from her. And it's basically at the point to where, you know, I don't know what was going on in her mind. I don't understand why she would reinforce this. I really don't. I'm trying to think of the best choice of words. I'm trying not to be mean. Because we were on the Freedom Train podcast. You can go back and listen to the episode. We were mean to the author of the article. And rightfully so, we should have been, because he wrote it from the tone of a fellow straight black male who thinks that black men are the white men of the black community. And are there some asshole black men who are just the scum of the earth who need their ass whooped and need some total reevaluation? Yes. Yes, those black men do exist. We do have black men that exist that don't make the rest of us look good. Is it too many black men who are not the bad ones but stand around and do nothing as the bad ones do bad things? Yes. But to suggest that all black men, all straight black men in this country are the white men, that we are that we have the same privilege to oppress as white men do, is straight bullshit. And for you to retweet that Jamel Hill is straight bullshit. Now, I understand that some women have had horrible experiences with black men. I do get that. And I understand that there is most likely, and there's probably an amount of black women that is too damn large who have these complaints with black men. I will admit that. But I will not admit that every black man in black America can be held to that title. I will not admit that every black man in America is the terrorist or the white man. I am, however, pissed that those of us who are the active and visible allies for black women get washed into the fray. Now, the guy who wrote that, first of all, brother, you were very irresponsible. And Jamel Hill, you were very irresponsible for tweeting that, for retweeting that guy. Like, if you read that article, you could tell Buddy was sitting down trying to get some cool points. Because he didn't, like, it was supported by nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing but things that seemed like he felt. Or maybe some things that he may have observed in his own personal life. But hell, I've observed some fucked up things from both black men and black women. I have. Just a couple weeks ago, on my way to work, I saw a pregnant black woman smoking crack. Now, did I come out and write an article and say all black women smoke crack? Hell no, because I understand that that one young lady that I saw does not represent all the black women in America. She don't even represent all the black women in her goddamn neighborhood. She only represents herself and her personal experience. We all only represent ourselves and our own personal experiences. But what we don't all do is represent these bullshit broad titles or these broad labels that they put on us and our community. And we have to be able to call out the ones who are divisive in our community, and goddammit, Jamel Hill, that's you. Why? What was your reasoning? How, like, I read the article 3 times. What about that do you agree with? Other than coming from a place of hurt, other than coming from a place of you being stuck where you are, and you being stuck emotionally or something, like you emotionally immature or something. And that I don't get. I mean, coming off the heels of this Trump thing, and now the spotlight, it's back on you, at least in our community it is, because we're mad at you. Us black men are mad at you, Jamel Hill, because this is bullshit. Us black men who do our best to be the best that we can be for our within our households, within our communities, we're tired of getting broad stroked. Now, damn it, are we tired of getting broad stroked? You got damn right. So, men, all you angry-ass black men, y'all stop broad-stroking these black women as well. Stop the bullshit. You mad at one person. It's not everybody. It's both sides, men, black men, and black women. This is divisiveness. This is the divisive stuff that keeps us where we are. This is why our community is always under attack, because we are so stuck on being divided. Everybody's trying to win. Nobody's trying to build. Get back to goddamn building. Stop with this quarreling, this fighting, this back and forth, all this stuff. Come on. You can't be retweeting this bullshit. Now, shout out to all the black women who saw this as bullshit, saw this article as bullshit, and called it for what it is. Shout out to all of you. I love you all. I love you all who took the time to read it once. And you may have had some things like, hell yeah, this shit, but then you read it again. And you might have read it again, and then you realize that that's some bullshit. It's some divisiveness, and it's some fuckboy stuff. And that's what that guy is, that the author of that article is a fuckboy. Yep, and we're calling that on the Freedom Train podcast, and I'm reinforcing that here on the Fix. He's a fuckboy. Yep, I said it. But Jamel, come on. Come on now. All straight black men are the white. That's so far-fetched to suggest that we have anything that resembles the power that white men have. Can kill. Can get away with. They do it all the time. When's the last time a black man killed somebody, got caught, and got away with it? Besides OJ. And OJ was an anomaly. That shit. Man, look at OJ suffering now. White privilege means that me as a black man, I would be thriving way more. We all straight black men would be thriving way more than we are. Straight black men, and we have it rough. We have it rough. I'm not going to get into a contest of who has it the worst, but we have it rough. It's not easy for straight black men out here in this world. It's not as easy as you think. White privilege trumps male privilege. Believe that. If you don't get it, believe that. White privilege trumps male privilege. Just because I have a penis don't mean it's all good for me. It doesn't. So y'all got to understand that. But damn, Jamel, come on, man. I expect better from you. I expect more. But at the same time, you are the same. I do have to call you and Michael Smith out for a couple things. I mean, I probably should have expected this, because you were the same person, Jamel. You and Michael Smith laughed off the situation with Solange and Jay-Z in the elevator when Solange was... She did a lot of misses, but, you know, punching the kids, kicking Jay-Z, y'all thought it was funny. And it wasn't funny. I thought Jay-Z did a good job of not reacting, retaliating, and getting aggressive. But you all thought it was funny. Nothing funny about domestic violence. There's nothing funny about violence against men. There's damn sure nothing funny about violence against women. There's nothing funny about violence across the board. And we're going to stop having to... I guess we got to start looking at y'all sportscasters as who y'all really are. Like, it's not a lot of me's out there. People don't really tell the truth. It's not a lot of Willie D's. Even Shannon Sharp is on a... His chain is short. Shannon Sharp's chain is not as long as we think it is. Because he is on Fox Sports. And sooner or later, they're going to clip Shannon. They're going to clip him. But guess who they can't clip? Me. And guess who else they can't clip? Willie motherfucking D. I have to give Willie D a shout out because he be doing his thing. But it's all in all for us to understand, man, that come on, Jamel. Come on, people in our community. People in our community, we have to do better. We have to get past the divisiveness. Your individual situation, I'm not going to say I understand your individual situation because I don't understand your individual situation. But your individual situation does not mean that the rest of the community gets broad stroked. Your experiences doesn't mean that all of us are messed up. Do we have issues? Yes. Do we have issues that need to be better attended to? Yes. Do we have to do better? Hell yes. It's a must. But everybody is not or should not be broad-stroked. So let's just think about that. Let's just think about that, Jamel Hill. Next time you want to retweet something, Twitter getting you in trouble. Maybe you should step away. Maybe you should step away for a minute, but I don't know. Yeah. On to the next. That's my transition music. Hell yeah, my ghetto ass transition. Hey man, I'm a beatbox champion. And I was a lunchroom beatbox champion in middle school. I'm wildin', hey man, I'm wildin'. So, next. We gotta talk about Cam Newton. Camothy Newton. Cameron Newton. Cam has found himself and a bit of Trevor later. And more than just his outfit choice, or his choice to dye his chin hair blonde as a grown-ass man, 6'6", 247 pounds, dyed his damn chin hair blonde. Anywho, so Cam was in an interview, and he was asked a pretty peculiar question from reporter Jordan Rodriguez. And she asked about, she asked Cam, did he enjoy watching his wide receiver Devin Funchess as he embraces the physicality of his routes and uses the and kind of she put a hit stick reference in there, the LeMadden hit stick, a truck stick reference rather, in there. The question came out. It wasn't a bad question. I say that I don't think it was a bad question. I don't think it was a bad question. But I don't think it was a good question. I think the question was kind of sweet. I think it's one of those things where a woman is asking that from her perspective to a dude, and Cam, as a dude, was like, I can't believe you just asked me this sweet-ass question. But nevertheless, Cam got in trouble for his comment, for him laughing and, you know, saying what he said. You know, a lady reporter asking me this because she asked about basically Devin Funchess and being physical and running his routes and his yards after catch. And Cameron is in trouble now. He had to state an apology. It was like he's disrespectful and all these things here. So I'm going to get on Cam. I'm going to get on her. But first, let me get on y'all fuck ass media. All y'all who call the Cam Newton sexist, man, y'all can go to hell. That's not sexist. What's sexist is damn Donald Trump. What's sexist is the Hollywood dude, I can't think of his name now, the Hollywood dude who's in trouble for having the women come to his house to try to give him body rubs and stuff. That's sexist. That's sexism and stuff like that, but you all to suggest that Cam Newton is sexist because of his comment is strictly ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous for Cam to be sexist. And so now you have the feminist community. Yeah, so I ain't gonna say the whole feminist community. Just some feminists coming out and some people representing the feminist community or feminist movement coming out labeling Cam Newton as a sexist, which is bullshit. Let's just be real. If behind closed doors, all men are saying the same thing. Behind closed doors, all men are agreeing that that question was strange as hell. That question was, it was kind of sweet. It was a sweet-ass question. It was a sweet-ass, let's just be real. It was a sweet-ass question. And, that's what it was. The question, it wasn't a horrible question. Now, the question didn't warrant his response. I thought he could have responded differently, but nevertheless, it was a sweet-ass question. She could have worded her question differently. She was trying to, it was one of the things where little white girl reporter trying to be cool in front of the black dude, and it backfired on her. Because she probably watched a couple of hip-hop videos, probably listened to old-ass 50 Cent in the club in the car or something like that. But turns out that they dug through her little Twitter history, and she had a bunch of racist tweets and stuff. I didn't see the tweets, but that's what they say. She had some racist tweets in her past and all the comments and things. So she doesn't have a squeaky clean past, and she's playing victim. Well, she ain't necessarily. I ain't gonna say she got victimized, man. Cam, she asked a sweet ass question. Cam gave her a crazy answer. I mean, it wasn't a bad question, but it wasn't a great question. I don't think the question was as bad for his response. I thought Cam could have been smarter in his response. You know how white people are about their white women, how white America is about its white women. You know that. And white America will come to the defense of this white woman at the drop of a dime, no matter if she's right or wrong. No matter if, you know, it's going to be at the cost of a whole goddamn black village. You already know that. You should know that. You should be well-versed. Now, I told y'all about messing with these white women. You should be well-versed. Do not get involved romantically with white women. And then when you engage in a conversation and things like that, know how to answer certain questions and hold your own. Don't be no punk now. Don't be no bitch. Don't be no bitch. But know how to hold your own. Be crafty in your words, right? And Cam could have responded differently. He could have responded differently. I'm not going to jump down Cam's throat, even though I do think Cam is a cornball. I do think Cam is a hell set. I do think Cam is a melt. I do think he is. I do think Cam too big to be wearing pastel high waters and shit if he don't do Steve Urkel shoes. I do think he a little lame. He might. But Cam has done some lame shit in the past. And Cam is known for saying some dumb shit. Some dumb shit will fall out of Cam's mouth. And that's basically what happened in this interview. Cam was just being a dumbass. Sexist, no. Dumbass, yes. Asshole, yes. L7, yes. Sexist, no. And y'all have to stop. Well, it's the white media. We can sit here and tell the white media to stop all we want. But our best bet is to support our black media and make sure the stories from our black media are out there and prominent. That's what we can do. Support our black media. White media's job is designed to put our black players in the light that they put them in. To put that claim out, oh, Cam Newton is a sexist. Cam Newton ain't no damn sexist. Fuck out of here, man. The president of the United States is a sexist. One of the most fucked up parts about all this is you guys are holding a fucking quarterback to a higher standard than you are to the president of the United States. That's bullshit. You're holding a fucking quarterback to a higher standard, a higher moral standard than you are the president of the United States. But that's what white media do. We got to understand the power of propaganda. Go to the Only Shows of Giants YouTube channel. There's a video on there about the power of propaganda. Go check it out. YouTube.com/OnTheShoulders1. Go check it out. I'm telling you. Propaganda has been used by white media to demonize blacks since the beginning of white media. That's what they do. Right? So we have to understand that and understand that. Well, embrace it. Don't be trying to be like, oh, what things have changed? Man, nothing has changed. The system of white supremacy and racism has not changed in the way that you want it to change. It's evolved to get better. It's evolved to become a more efficient system. But what it hasn't done is evolved for this equality that we're asking for, or for this one world nation, or this we are the world mindset that you guys want. That's what hasn't happened. That shit ain't happened. Cam Newton played his victim with that. But Cam Newton stuck his own foot in his mouth on this one. I do think he could have answered it differently. She could have asked a better question. It wasn't a horrible question. It was sweet as shit though. It was ghetto Kool-Aid sweet. That's what it was. You don't ask no grown ass man no question about no truck stick. You don't ask no grown ass man, has he been watching and embraced his receiver and the physicality of how he ran his routes? You could ask Cam, do he appreciate how Devin Funchess has embraced the physicality of the game? You could ask him, has he noticed that Devin Funchess is a more physical player? Is a more physical wide receiver? Hey, as big as he is, Devin Funchess is big as shit, so he should be physical. You gotta ask him that. But once again, you think different from me, Jordan. You do, Jordan. I think different from you. I wouldn't ask that sweet ass question that way. I probably wouldn't ask that sweet ass question at all. Once again, I don't think it was a bad question. I wouldn't have asked it that way. I wouldn't have asked that question. I don't think it's a sweet ass. I do think it's a sweet question. Don't think it's a bad question. And I do think Cam could answer it different. But Jordan, we really still don't have no love for your ass, though. I'm just being real with you. Like, we really, over here on the fix, we don't have no love for you. We really don't. I mean, you trying to play victim as if you got mugged or some shit, and that's some bullshit. Your ass ain't get mugged. Cam just, you know, he just laughed at your sweet ass question. Stop playing victim as if you got goddamn robbed or some shit, Jordan. And y'all, the white need to stop playing that shit like she got robbed or something. Oh my God, he was rude to me. You ain't the first motherfucker that have been rude. Like, I'm going to just say this, and some of y'all may not like this. Look, if it's okay to be rude to a male reporter, damn it, it's okay to be rude to a female reporter. Now, Cam Newton could have chose his words differently. He should have said what he said. That's why he got in trouble. But I do think equal opportunity offense, right? If I'm going to be mean to a man, I'm going to be mean to a woman. If I'm going to be rude to a male reporter, I'm going to be rude to a female reporter. If you ask a dumbass question, you being the female not really going to save you from this wrath. If you're a male, you are, no, your ass ain't saved. Right? So, let's look at that aspect, you know, equality. We talk about equality, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, she got the business. Well, she ain't get the business, but, you know, he laughed at her sweet ass question, so. Stop playing victim, Jordan. Just take the roll with the punches. Let that shit go, man. Just roll with it. Stop dropping, roll with it, like Macy Gray said. So that's Cam Newton versus Jordan Rodriguez, and I hope Cam changes his chin hat color, get some longer pants, stop wearing the tight ass clothes and pastel colors and looking like a goddamn AKA front desk receptionist. There it is. All right, so on to the WNBA, and if you don't know, now you know, the Minnesota Lynx are now the 2017 WNBA champions with an 85-76 win over the Los Angeles Sparks. Now, I watched this game. You know I like the WNBA. Y'all know I go hard for the WNBA, and my baby, Maya Moore, she came to motherfucking play. Maya Moore was balling from the beginning to the ending. It was hard. Now, I got beef with Minnesota Lynx, so let me go ahead and dig in their ass for a minute. Because Minnesota Lynx, this fucking series, shouldn't have went five games. It shouldn't have went five games. It should have, I can see three, maybe four. It shouldn't have went five games. The Minnesota Lynx are a better team than the Los Angeles Sparks. Now, they're not that much better, I will admit. Elena Bibb, Neko Ogumike, Candace Parker, Odyssey Sims, Chelsea Gray, Essence Carson, Gentelle Lavender, Rakina Williams, I can't say her first name, number 26, Diara, Sandrine Gruda, Tiffany Jackson-Jones, Sidney Weiss. They are a good team. They are a great, that's a great damn team. But I do think the Minnesota Lynx are a better team. This series shouldn't have went five games. It went five because in game four and some of the previous games, the Minnesota Lynx, when they get lax, they turn the ball over. They get lax, they seem like they head out the game and they turn the ball over. Also in game four, Lindsey Whalen and Simone Augustus didn't score. So you can't expect to beat the Los Angeles Sparks when Lindsey Whalen and Simone Augustus don't score, right? Because, first of all, Simone Augustus is too goddamn good to not score. There's not one player in the WNBA who can stop Simone Augustus. Simone Augustus stopped herself. But the same thing happened in the third quarter of game five. The Minnesota Lynx got lax. They got sloppy. They started turning the ball over. And so the score, the box score of the third quarter, the Minnesota Lynx scored 19 points in the third quarter, while the Los Angeles Sparks scored 21. Now, let me give you a quarter-by-quarter breakdown. The first quarter went 21-19 to the Lynx. The second quarter went 20-16 to the Lynx. The third quarter went 21-19 to the Sparks. And the fourth quarter went 25-20 to the Lynx. So the Lynx had – Lynx were pretty – they were able to pretty much keep a lead and keep control of the game for the most part throughout the game. But that third quarter, they started fucking up. They got lax and started turning that ball over. And, you know, I was like, no, man, y'all can't do this. You're letting the Sparks back into the game. They were letting the Sparks back into the game, but they held it together. Baby Maya Moore, Sylvia Fowles, the league MVP and WNBA Finals MVP, Sylvia Fowles, they got it together, and, you know, they won. So, I start with the Sparks. I give you their score. So, Elena Beer, their defensive specialist, she had 2 points. Neka Gumake had 11 points. Candace Parker had 19. Odyssey Sims had 14. Chelsea Gray had 15. So, Odyssey Sims, a lot of the talk was around Odyssey Sims, because this Odyssey Sims was the only player who, this was her, she was the only one who didn't play in the series last year, right? So, let me give you some information on her. I forgot what team she come from, but this is her third year in the league, but this is her first year on the Los Angeles Sparks. She kind of cute too. She look cute probably too. Look at you, I see. You look cute. But her first year on the team, so they were worried about her, about the team chemistry and all those things there. But I thought Odyssey played pretty well. I thought she played pretty well. She had some, you know, some gelling to do with the rest of the team, because the rest of the team has been playing together a little longer, and especially in the finals. But she had 14 points, and, you know, Jantia Lavender had 8 points, and Rakina Williams had 7. So that was the total for the Los Angeles Sparks. Now, for the Minnesota Lynx, their whole starting five were in double digits. The whole starting five. So Maya Moore led the way with 18. Rebecca Brunson had 13. Cynthia Fowles had 17. Simone Augustus had 14. And Lindsey Whalen had 17. Renee Montgomery chipped in with 2 points. Jai Perkins had 4 points. Also on the team is Natasha Howard, Alexis Jones, Cecilia Zandalashini, yeah, and Planette Pearson and Timmy. Yeah, number 14, Timmy. So I want to give a shout out and a round of applause to the 2017 WNBA champions, the Minnesota Lynx. 2017 Minnesota Lynx, Minnesota Lynx going down. All right, my ladies, shout us out to the ladies. Now, I keep telling people, man, that's great basketball. You got to get into it. You got to get into it. Minnesota Lynx brought it home, man. Hey, y'all keep doing y'all thing. Keep doing you all's thing. And I look forward to seeing the Lynx and the Sparks in the third time in the WNBA Finals next year, unless the Phoenix Mercury got something to say about it. All right, let's keep this thing moving. So now we're on to college football. You know, I got to give you my weekly college football recap. And I watched the Florida State-Miami game. I watched that game. I watched a little bit of Alabama-Texas A&M. I was out making money yesterday, so I didn't really watch too much of football. But Florida, they about that bullshit. Florida State, look here. I'm gonna get into it as I go. So, started off, defending Heisman Trophy champion Lamar Jackson led his Louisville Cardinals into Raleigh, North Carolina to play North Carolina State. And Louisville, they lost 39-25. Now, NC State got a D tackle, number 9, last name Chubb, who's a motherfucking beast. Chubb is a B-E-A-S-T. I look forward to seeing Buddy getting picked on the first round in this upcoming 2017 draft. You can't block this sumbitch. You can't block him. Chubb, you are the man. Like for the last couple games, Chubb just been disrupting everybody's offensive line. Of course, Florida State's offensive line is a fucking turnstile. So Chubb was in the backfield. Hey, my homegirl Monique on the line. What's up, Mo?
What's up?
How you doing?
Happy to be here. I'm good. Good. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for coming on the fix. You know, we've been getting in. I got to take you back. I just got through talking about Cam Newton and his chin hair. So
you might as well
him
go
and that thing on report. Hold on, but now since you're here, before we get into college football, go back. Let's take back, because I don't know, me and Patrick, Friday night, we were having a discussion through our line app about this Cam Newton situation. And, you know, and like I was just telling the people, like I was telling y'all, I didn't think it was a bad question. I thought Cam could have answered different, but I do think it was a sweet-ass question, though. You know, what's your thoughts?
It was sweet.
As a woman.
When I first heard it, you know, I went and watched the video. That was my experience after everything kind of blew up. I said, well, before I make an opinion on it or even have an opinion, let me go see what was said, you know. So, I heard her question, and basically it was like, do you enjoy watching the physicality of Funches run routes? And to me, the way she asked it, I thought it was a little sweet. I thought it was, you know, suggestive at least, you know what I'm saying? And then he giggled like a little girl. And, you know, to me, I kind of thought, you know what I'm saying, this is the way that they want to play the imaging, but he took it, you know, a step further by saying it was funny that a female was asking a question about routes, and, you know, that took it in a direction.
That's what
that,
he fucked up.
Right, you know what I'm saying? But that played right into her hand. So either way, she would have got what she wanted. She would have had him answer a question, and I felt like was targeted at, it wasn't about football, because if you asking a quarterback does he enjoy watching the receiver run his routes? Well, if you know anything about football, then you know that when the quarterback is even coming up out of whether or not he is up under the center or he's in the shotgun, his concentration for the first 3 seconds is just getting that football into his hands, and then it's got to be out even quicker. When do they even get to see them run the routes? Because they just know that there's a point in the field based on the play that was called that they got a spot on the field where they have to have that ball based on the route in the defense that is being ran on them. So they don't even get to see them run the routes, you know what I'm saying, for the most part in gameplay. But the second thing is, go ahead.
No, it's just you was just making me think. It's just like, also in that, it kind of throwing a dig at Funches. It's like, okay, so last year, your big ass was soft.
Yeah. Right, you know what I'm saying? And I think before she prefaced that question, before she made that question, I think she had prefaced how Funches got into shape or worked on his work to get to where he was now. You know, but again, you know what I'm saying, the quarterback's job is to connect with the receiver and make plays. Forget, you know, the routes is something that's, you know, a part of the game, but, you know, for me, do you enjoy watching a receiver, another run his routes? And I'm the quarterback, so I just think it was a shot all the way around. She was able to capitalize on the fact that he made a gender reference. Because without that, he could have just said, it's funny you know what I'm saying, to hear you ask that question. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then she wouldn't have been able to take it anywhere, but the minute you throw any type of gender reference in there, you get to scream misogyny. You get to scream
sexism, which is bullshit.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that make it bullshit all the way around to me. And then you notice that later she goes to seek him out, and she makes sure that she check his Negro card. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to remember who I am because I'm going to blow this story up more than what it needs to be. I'm going to take one word and make this more than what, and have him apologize, and having sponsors drop, you know what I'm saying? But this is all what they want. And then that further degrades the black image, but he played right into it. That's why I don't get on social media and defend Cam, but I will point out that, you know what I'm saying, when Cam Newton or any other black male that's out there and has a large audience, when anything like that happens in the public eye, we all have to absorb that hit. So, you know, that's exactly what happened to me there, and that's the part that bothers me.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that Okio's yoga, that shit garbage anyway. Don't nobody really like that. So, Okio's, I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Fuck you and your yoga. Because y'all want to drop Cam after that. Y'all mad? Come on, y'all going to... Like I was saying earlier, y'all gonna drop Cam for doing that. For shit, y'all should, like, so y'all mean really, y'all really telling me that y'all holding fucking quarterbacks to a higher standard than y'all are the president of the fucking United States? Really?
Well, they holding black quarterbacks to the standard that they you know, and that's, again, the whole of the black community has to pay for that interaction and that engagement, because they are just like, and I'm gonna come back to this. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to come back to sports, but that's just how the male black image is portrayed throughout pop culture. And let's face it, sports is a part of, because of the celebrity status.
It's pop culture.
It's pop culture.
Yeah, it is. When you are a quarterback, just like in middle school, high school, you are the most popular athlete.
Popular.
Out here. So that's all 30, right. Well, not all 32. But all of the quarterbacks who are popular, it's a reason Cam Newton is getting paid more than Odell Beckham. It's a reason,
right.
Cam Newton gonna get things that Odell, even though both of them are dickheads. Both of them are. But being that quarterback, you are the leader. The quarterback gets the praise and they get all the hate. And you have to understand where you are, because Cam Newton have a history of just stuff for women, but just dumb shit, period. Like, I was listening to ESPN Radio, and they had literally a 3-minute montage of all the dumb shit that came out of Cam's mouth.
Right.
But, like you said, in the same light, for that white chick to go chase him after that and try to get him to apologize, first of all, Cam don't owe your punk ass no goddamn apology.
Yep.
He don't owe you shit. But like I said earlier, why do female reporters feel like they should get like a different type of respect? Like, if I'm going to be rude to a male reporter, and that male reporter not going to come chasing me, what the fuck make you think you're going to come chasing me? If I'm going to be rude to John Hengelson, I'm going to be rude to your ass too, Jordan Rodriguez. Like, you do not escape the rudeness. You do not escape all the other stuff that come with being a reporter. Now, people don't have to make those choices. We understand that. But when they make those choices, you can't play a victim just because you're a woman. That's one of the things that I got from that, from her thing, is I'm a woman and I'm a white woman, so I'm going to play both my cards on this dumb nigga. Because he took the bait.
Mm-hmm. Well, she definitely played both of those cards, you know. But that is the mantra for white women everywhere in every place of society that we have. You know what I'm saying, is to use those tools to further them, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I will have this incident is no different than white women who seek out wealthy black men for not for riches, but for placement. You know what I'm saying, for wealth, for notoriety, for popularity, everything. There's no different here. I'm going to use you one way or the other is what they're saying. I don't have to sleep with you to do it. I can put you in a compromising position and I could expose all of this. So she, you know, she's using what she has, but then we look back into her own background and we see that, you know what I'm saying, she's not even an individual or of good character that we should even be rallying behind. So what was even more disappointing is the number of black women who came out and said, you know,
taking things off.
Yes, they came out in like, Cam is this, and they came out with that toxic masculinity, agenda.
Could you do me a favor? Because I was going to do it, but I think it'll be received differently. Could you speak to the black feminists who always came with these white women and for these white women? Could you speak to them real quick?
I'm sure they know that they're not getting any benefit from this. I'm sure they understand that, you know what I'm saying, their job in this is to simply uplift white women into a role over them and give them no benefits. It is a further divide that they're using, a tool to divide the black community by furthering their agenda. Understand that whenever we just say toxic masculinity, it's not perceived as all men, you know what I'm saying? And you ever wonder why when you talk about toxic masculinity on any medium that they never differentiate between white men and black men, even though we know that white men get the benefit of privilege. If they do something in white in society, they are always going to be singled out, and you cannot judge that white, you cannot judge the whole of the white community by that one, that action of one white man. However, if you put a black face up there, then that is representative of the entire black. All black men are like this. All black men are toxic male figures.
Right.
They represent
right.
that. So, you know, what is the benefit to a black feminist? We have to understand that it's just a tool to divide the community and behave accordingly. So my thing is, even if we were concerned that individuals would pick that lack of sensitivity to a female reporter and her doing her job, then that is something that we don't publicly come out and say that in a public stance. That is something that we work on within the community and move on from there. But we don't give them more fuel to throw on that fire. We don't tarnish the image of all black men with something that one individual said, especially an individual like Cam, who we know
mm-hmm.
is not even going to cape for black people.
Cam,
you know what I'm saying? So why are we even lending Cam that type of, why are we even giving him that type of support or non-support on this issue? Why aren't we coming back into the community and fixing what we have here? And if we did, we realize that there's plenty of men in the community that don't have those characteristics, but we never want to concentrate on that. There's a reason why. There's a bigger or overall agenda why. So black feminists, no, y'all got to take that. Y'all got to know that, you know what I'm saying, pretty much you're just working for no wages. You
right.
know, you're working for no benefits. No reward is coming of this. This is just something that will further make you vulnerable in the community. And
mass
when it makes
guys.
You vulnerable, that's right, you know what I'm saying? And when you're vulnerable, they can come at you in any different ways because
that's what I said earlier.
That same white woman, in order to further her agenda, when it's necessary, she'll make sure that black woman does not get any advancement as well. You know what I'm saying? Ask that same reporter that interviewed Cam or afterwards how she feels about Jemele Hill, and you'll see exactly where you stand as far as women empowerment.
Right. Yeah. And okay, quickly, how do you, since you brought up Jemele Hill, because I wasn't going to say that, but I was going to let, but damn it, you said it. So quickly, Jemele Hill retweeting this article, you know, and you know, you and I have already discussed this article, this
right.
bullshit article by that boy. So How do you feel about Jemele Hill retweeting that article, knowing what she just went through with the Trump thing and also knowing that the platform that she has?
Well, the first thing that I want to point out is that when Jemele Hill went through this this event where she tweeted some, you know, I guess what you would call disparaging statements about President Donald Trump, it was black. All I've seen after that were black men come to her side for support. Black sports reporters, her own co-host, Michael Smith, numerous black people came
to this
her
platform.
Support. Right. You know what I'm saying? To support her. Michael Smith said, I'm not doing, when ESPN wanted to, you know, smooth the waters by either suspending her or taking her off of the show, Michael Smith said he wasn't going to do the show without her. Other sports commentators stepped up and, you know, said things. So it was black men that came to support her. So for her to then turn around and take this article that a friend of hers, from what I understood, wrote without delivering some of the criticisms that, because as a journalist, you could read that article and poke holes through the argument all the way around. They made a lot of generalities, and even in the last comments of that article, they pinpointed out that this was personal experience or personal viewpoint that had nothing to do with the whole of black men. As a black man, you should be ashamed to put something out there like that in the publication, and that goes directly to your credibility. So, right. Yeah, that, you know, that was irresponsible of Jemele Hill to do that without uplifting the other those black men in the community that came in and supported you not less than a week before. So that
right.
was reckless.
So the buddy was her friend that wrote the article.
Yeah, she said she said that it was a friend. You know, in journalism is a very small community already, and black journalism is even smaller. So, yes, so, when her friend wrote this article, I'm pretty sure she felt some connection to share it, but not only did she share it, she endorsed it. And in journalism, we understand how this works. She did owe her friend a calling to the carpet and say, hey, how do you say that, you know what I'm saying, the white society, that black men are more dangerous to white society, when it was black men who came to support me this last week when a white power structure tried to take me off my own show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she should have G-checked him, and she didn't. She dropped the ball on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once again, though, that's to me, that's what happens when you work for white folk like that. Because to me, I think she was probably also thinking, well, hell, I need to do something to make myself look better for these white folk. So what better else to do than throw some shade at black men? Because even as much as we love what Shannon Sharpe is saying on Fox Sports, Shannon Sharpe still works for Fox, and he's still on the short leash.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Listen, Shannon Sharpe, as progressive as people really want to believe that Shannon Sharpe is being, you know what I'm saying, we have to still measure his words, because he is measuring some of the content that he puts out there too.
Mm-hmm.
He's very careful with the words that he uses.
Oh, very
and
careful.
When I look at that situation, I say he has to be, you know what I'm saying, because he's not using some of the terminology that we know exists to pinpoint that out. And they're letting him do that because he's bringing in more viewership. You know,
they're bringing in black viewers.
And so, you know, they're going to allow him to do that for as long as it's a positive outcome for them. And they're getting that. It's much the same thing where, you know what I'm saying, you know, we're riding this thing where, you know, Trump makes these, you know, calls, you know, people sons of bitches, you know, and, you know, this and that. But it, that played right into what the NFL wanted. You know what I'm saying? They didn't stand in on the sidelines, locking arms, the ownership and all that. They didn't do that because they care about police brutality, unfairly targeting black communities. They did that because they want butts in those seats and people watching on the television. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's why they did that. So, you know, even so, they're always going to get what they want in the long run, which is people, you know what I'm saying, spending their time and money watching their sport or their entertainment venue, you know.
Right,
and,
right.
And that's one of the reasons why I protest in silence, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just stop watching the NFL. I don't go out. I don't have to promote that I'm doing that. I just stop altogether because I don't give them any energy. And right now we're giving it Jemele Hill, which is why I don't what she said about Trump was no big deal to me. You know what
right.
I'm saying? You know, and
she ain't saying nothing we ain't already know.
No, exactly. You know what I'm saying? So why was it even made a big deal? Because we needed to get everybody in an uproar to say, let me pay attention to what's going on so I can, you know, and if y'all paying attention, then y'all going to watch the football games. Y'all going to watch SportsCenter. Y'all going to get their viewership up.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that was about. So even when I look at, you know, even when I look at Jemele Hill and some of those other people that are still connected to the system, let's remember what their job is and who's cutting them checks.
Hey, there it is. There it is. Speak it, Mo. Speak it. God damn it.
Yes.
So,
So
we won't be on this thing all because we can talk. Because we can talk.
Yeah.
So, let's get to some college football. So,
okay.
Like I said, did you get a chance to watch some games yesterday?
I haven't watched any sports, but I will tell you this. My family member of mine is playing for Kentucky. Lynn Bowden Jr. and yesterday he played a phenomenal game for Kentucky. He returned kickoff and they had him a slot receiver, so they had him out there and a direct snap to him out of the backfield. I watched Kentucky play because I was supporting a family member, and I did not take in any of the other games. I don't even know where everybody is standing at on that on college football. So have at it, but I will say that I am supporting. And listen, in that game, I want to point this out too. In that game, my cousin took a really nasty helmet-to-helmet hit. And I think there was a flag on the play, and I think there was some yardage, you know, tacked onto that. But I want to say in real time, and this was my cousin out there taking this hit. But in real time, you know, he was coming out of the backfield, and I believe the dude was a linebacker was coming up and met him helmet to helmet. And Lynn put his head down to absorb the hit, and the linebacker, of course, you know, put his helmet down to deliver
it's
the
movement.
Hit.
It's movement.
It's movement.
It's like when you look, like I feel you. I played. I've been hit hard enough to shit just went blank, and I've hit bitches that hard. Like, you know, like when I played football. I love hitting people. Like, that's one of the things that I enjoy. Like hitting somebody and taking their goddamn soul from them. Like, I enjoy that, right? Because especially like me, like when I was in high school, I was barely 140 pounds. But
okay.
So when I hit, you weigh 200 pounds, and I hit your ass, and you fall, and you feel it, that's enjoyment for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel you, though. The game has gotten, I understand making it safe, but they also have to realize that in certain situations, you're not going to be able to totally say that the defender could have done something different.
There's always people
who've never played football saying some shit like that.
That's exactly what I was thinking. And listen, I never played football, but in real time, that looked like a legal hit to me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because what else were you supposed to do? I got to deliver a hit, and instinctively, if you know you're about to get hit, what do? You put your shoulders
down. You curl up.
And you absorb that hit. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So for me, I was like, that looked like a legal hit to me. And it was hard for me to see how, you know, they could see it any other way, especially in real time. But, you know, I guess that's the nature of the game now, but I really do think it's slowing down the game, but I don't think they have any other choice because CTE is real. And, you know, I don't see people's careers lasting that long if they got to take those type of hits because we are getting faster, stronger, and more physical as the generations go on. And so those hits are more vicious and more and have more or have a greater impact on us. So I guess the game is trying to match that, match that with, you know, play calling. But just remember that those calls come after the blow has been delivered and they don't catch everyone because in real time, you can't tell me that you could catch that. You know what I'm saying? How do you know? You know what I'm saying? Like I said, it looked like to me, Lynn put his head down to absorb the hit, and the linebacker he squared his shoulders up to make sure that you know what I'm saying. So how do you
basically all it is? Basically all it is the NCAA and the NFL trying to prevent future lawsuits. That's basically what it is. Yes, the game is changing, and things do need to change. Safety needs to be there, but it's both entities trying to prevent lawsuits. But anyway, anywho. But like I was saying earlier, right? NC State topples Louisville 39-25. Shout out to Chubb, number 9, that defensive lineman. If you get a chance one day or just look up the stats, Chubb, number 9, the defensive lineman for NC State, the brother is real. I look forward to seeing him on Sunday. So, Alabama.
Now, just for this show, I'm gonna watch some college football next week.
There you go. There you go.
There you go.
There you go. Hey, this week was all right. It wasn't as good as last week, but this week was all right. So Alabama met Texas A&M. Now, hold up. I'm looking at Texas A&M's record right now. Texas A&M is 4-2. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is because, and I mentioned it last week, Texas A&M's head coach, Kevin Sumlin, his job is on the line right now.
Okay.
I don't know why they expected more from Texas A&M. I guess because when Texas A&M's first 2 years in the SEC, you know, I think the first year they made SEC championship game, and Texas A&M has never been garbage in the SEC coming from the Big 12, a conference where they don't play defense at all. But, you know, this year is basically make or break for Mike Tomlin. And this also, I think, is Mike Tomlin getting his Negro wake-up call as well.
Okay.
But Alabama goes on to roll 27-19 over Texas A&M. Wake Forest played number 2 Clemson. Clemson looks damn good. Clemson right now, Clemson and Alabama are the 2 schools, maybe Penn State too. Maybe Penn State are playing the best football. But Clemson's defense is real. Their defense is real across the board. Like, they're secondary tight, their linebackers tight, their D-line tight. And Clemson went on to beat Wake Forest 28-14 because, you know, people keep trying to give Wake Forest a chance. I don't know why. And Clemson's offense is very surprising, very, very surprising. I wasn't expecting the quarterback to step up and feel, I guess, be as good as he is from the beginning. And so, Kelly Bryant,
now,
he went
Clemson,
21.
Okay, I was about to say Clemson's QB. Is he playing now?
Yeah. Well, see, last year, Deshaun Watson, the QB last year, he's starting for the Tennessee Titans. Last week in the NFL, he threw for 5 touchdowns. I've been gone all day, so I haven't caught up on like the highlights and stats of what happened in the league. Like I still like to see what's going on in the NFL, even though I ain't watching it, but I try to get it for third party means or whatever. But Kelly Bryant went 21 for 29, which is a great completion percentage for 200 yards, one touchdown, and one pick. But I ain't gonna go too far into that game because hell, we don't need to. That ain't the game I want. That ain't the game I personally want to talk about.
So well, they number one and number two. Alabama number one. Clemson.
Yeah, Clemson number two. Yeah, yeah. But Clemson may end up jumping Alabama. It depends. But we're gonna see how it goes. But hell, it don't even matter who it one jump to because it don't matter. Now, the upset of the day is goddamn Oklahoma lost to Iowa State. How, Oklahoma? How? How do you lose to Iowa State? Even though Iowa State is 3-2, it's Iowa State. You don't, you are Oklahoma, and Oklahoma was playing great ball. Now, once again, in the Big 12, they don't play defense. They gave up 38 points.
Mm.
So Baker Mayfield, the quarterback for Oklahoma, let's look at his stats. So Baker went 24-33. He actually played well. 24-33, 306 yards, two touchdowns, and a 91.8 QBR.
So this was a game that the coaches lost.
Well, I'm looking at turnovers. I'm seeing. So Oklahoma lost one fumble. And was there any picks? Was there any picks? No interceptions. So one fumble. I don't know. I guess Oklahoma just choked. Well, Oklahoma, they gonna choke at least once a year, at least once or twice. They gonna choke. So we do expect Oklahoma to lose a game and not go undefeated. But hey. So number four Penn State and Saquon Barkley. They rolled over Northwestern like they should, 31-7, to go on to 6-0.
Now this I got Penn State at number three, and Georgia at number four.
As like rankings right now.
Right. Penn State at number three and Georgia at number four.
Well, those
Penn State 6-0.
Well, you're looking at the updated rankings. That's what you're looking at. Because you're looking at the record that just came out today. I'm looking at basically how it was ranked yesterday. Because Georgia will be number four now since Oklahoma lost. And Penn State jumped up to number three.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Georgia, now you mentioned Georgia, though. Georgia looking good, though. Georgia's defense is looking good. And hopefully, Mark Richt is not the coach of Georgia no more. So Georgia, to me, was the Michigan State of the South. They always almost. And Georgia, as many NFL players as Georgia has put into the league in the last 13 years, ain't no way in hell they shouldn't have won a national championship by now.
Mm-hmm.
There's no excuse. The amount of talent that has come from Georgia, but nevertheless, the Bulldogs rolled the Vanderbilt Commodores 45-14. You should always be the team whose mascot is a Commodore. I just want to point that out. So. Washington beat Cal 38-7. Michigan State beat Michigan 14-10. I mean, 14-10. Hey, Michigan. Hey, Jim Harbaugh. It ain't working out like he thought. Yeah, I mean, he's a good coach. I'm not gonna lie. I do like the way Michigan play, but I think that they don't have enough. They probably need to get more Florida players. Everybody know you get you some players from Florida, you'll win.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
So
I'll never be a fan of Michigan.
Right.
The Buckeyes is where it's at.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You're an Ohio State woman, so yeah.
Yes, indeed.
yeah. So we're gonna get to them in a minute. But TCU, another Big 12 football. Remember, when I talk about these huge scores, it's Big 12 football. So TCU beat West Virginia 31-24. So TCU is the undefeated team in the Big 12, and this is the team that they're looking at who will come out of the Big 12 and represent them in the Final Four in the college football playoff. Because right now you have Alabama representing ACC, you have Penn State representing the Pac-10, you have Clemson representing the ACC, and then you need another school. So hopefully the Big 12, because they really don't want these outside conferences in. So
no.
All right, so Wisconsin beat Nebraska 38-17. Maryland got their ass whooped by Ohio State 62-14.
Yes, 62-14.
Yeah, JT Barrett, I am very disappointed in you. And the way you play as a quarterback, I think Oklahoma's just going to get through this year with you and then move on. And I really don't see NFL glory in your future. You may get drafted. I don't see NFL glory in your future. But once again, these teams will make a leap and draft somebody, so you never really know.
Well, he don't have to go in as a he don't have to go in as a quarterback. We know that.
Well, I don't think if he don't he has to play quarterback, because I don't think he's nothing like Terrell Pryor or Braxton Miller who came before him, or even because the dude Cordero, the other quarterback that got drafted that played three games, he played three games and got drafted, and he's not playing. But for all that to happen in front of Barrett, you know, with the injuries happen too. But you know, hey, in the Pac-12, Washington State is 6-0. You know what? Washington State 6-0. Let's give Washington State a round of applause. My studio audience, Washington State, a round of applause for being 6-0.
You're here. Give it to them.
Because we don't know when that's gonna ever happen again. So they beat Oregon 33-10. Auburn, Miranda, Auburn beat.
Give her a shout out.
I know, right? Auburn beat Ole Miss 44-23. Now Ole Miss back to being regular Ole Miss after they stopped paying them players. I guess the players stopped taking the money to go play for Ole Miss, because you got to think about it. Think about this moment. About 4 or 5 years ago, Ole Miss was landing top five recruiting classes out of nowhere. Why the hell are these players deciding to go to Ole Miss? Why? Because Ole Miss was paying them. They just ain't got caught yet.
Yes, that's
yeah.
I believe it.
So, the state of Florida, the showdown for the state of Florida yesterday. I'm in Tallahassee. It's quiet as hell here in Tallahassee today. But yesterday, Miami came through, Hurricane Miami came through, and they toppled the Seminoles 24-20. Miami goes to be 4-0. Miami beat Florida State. This is the first victory in 7 years. Florida State falls to 1-3. Miami goes to 4-0. And Tallahassee is quiet, and these unstable Miami fans are chattering. So for the next 365 days, the irrational, unstable Miami fans will be irrational and unstable. And for some of you Miami fans, I have no you all can't even explain why you like Miami. Like, you have no idea. Like, you have no reason to like Miami, but Miami's your favorite school. I don't get it. I don't get it. All right. So, Oregon State got their ass whooped by USC, 31-10. Boston College lost to Virginia Tech, 23-10. San Diego State beat UNLV. Anybody who loses to UNLV this year, their coach should be fired. UNLV lost to Howard and Cam Newton, brother. So, but San Diego State won 34-10, like they should. Stanford beat Utah 23-20. Notre Dame beat North Carolina 33-10. The Florida Gators had the nerve to schedule LSU for their homecoming.
Oh, they're gonna get whopped.
With that offense, though. See, what pissed me off about Florida? It's for the last three. People don't agree with me, but for the last 3 years, I think Florida has had the best defense in the nation. Their biggest problem is that garbage-ass offense. And Jim McElwain coming in as an offensive coach can't get that offense going. Jim McElwain, he's on short leash. He don't understand. Well, you done went to two straight SEC championships, but you on short leash.
Well, defense, if they can, defense wins games, right?
Well, defense wins games, but the problem with Florida is when your defense – The output that your defense had to put out for 3.5 quarters, game after game after game after game, with no real offensive help, because the offense really don't give them a rest. They don't give the defense time to recuperate.
Right. Well, we know that the defense is not going to perform the same way in the first quarter as they in the first half as they perform in the second half, especially when they got to spend more time when they got to spend the same amount of time out there on the field.
Yeah, them three and outs add up.
Right.
It's like I was giving them my HBCU spotlight. Bowie State beat what's the name of this team? I can't remember the name of the team right now. But Cohen. Fast name of Cohen. But they gave up like 35-45 first downs. Now your defense got to get off the field. If your defense can't get off the field, you're gonna lose. But anyway,
you're gonna lose. Eventually,
our final score is University of Central Florida beat Cincinnati 51-23. So one time for the schools from the state of Florida. That's out there holding it down. That's how we do it. So, like I told you, I promised you an update on Major League Baseball. So it's not going to be long. We don't really care about baseball, even though the real baseball season has started. 182 games is a long-ass time. So the American League Divisional Series, we have two. So you have the Red Sox versus the Boston Red Sox versus the Houston Astros, and the Houston Astros have a 2-1 lead in one of the ALDS games. The other one is the Yankees versus the Indians, and the Yankees, they're up 2-0, and the Yankees coming off there. They had to play the Detroit Tigers. I think they had to play them to advance into the playoffs. They did the wild card game, so the Yankees come through the wild card game, and they're up 2-0 on the Cleveland Indians. So let's go to the National League. So you got the Arizona Diamondbacks versus the LA Dodgers, and the Dodgers have a 2-0 lead on the Diamondbacks. In the other game in the NLDS, we have the Chicago Cubs versus the Washington Nationals, and that series is tied 1-1. So that is an update on Major League Baseball.
One time for the Cleveland Indians. Let's do this.
Hey, and in the Tampa Bay Rays. Them too.
Well, they done now. They play their last game.
They're just in Florida, so. All right, Mo. So I'm on to my weekly rant. I got two rants.
Okay, let's hear them.
My first rant. Well, this first rant is for fans. Fans, sports columnists, sports anchors, people like that. One of the things that pissed me off is when people are calling for coaches to be fired.
Okay.
Right. Because the coach doesn't have the team performing to the level that they have them. Now, it's one thing. What we should start doing for these people is going to their garbage-ass job that they hate.
And say they need to be fired.
And go on the campaign. Go on a full-on campaign and march out in front of their jobs with signs, call their boss, and ask for them to be fired. Hell, you didn't clean the toilet good enough. Your ass should be fired. That's a couple of bills as I go in. But the everyday people who are not athletes, who are not in the world of sports, think that just because they're fans that it's okay to cause for somebody to get fired from their goddamn job and lose their ability to support themselves and their family because the fucking fan ain't happy. You ungrateful, selfish son of a bitch. And what really tripped me out is, like, for teams that yes, the school has a winning tradition, but for the last, so they got a new coach, and the team had 2-3 losses the last 4 years. Now they want the coach to be fired because in the previous year they had one loss. You know how hard it is for a coach to coach a team to double-digit wins on a consistent basis? Do you people really realize how hard? Half of you people have no idea what it takes to go into creating game plans and coaching football and being a part of the whole thing and everything. And even if you do have a clue, damn it, let me see you put it all together. But no, you people sit on your couches, behind your computers and your phones, typing away, asking for somebody to be fired, calling into radio stations, asking for people to be fired from their jobs. If the coach is underperforming, damn it, they gonna fire him. Don't worry about it. But what we don't need is your ass giving us your 2 cents about some coach that need to be fired because your ass not happy with these results because football is your escape because you too fucking lazy to fix regular life, so you have to have an escape.
Okay, so let me bring some levity to this rant so that we understand the positions that everybody plays. Because, you know, football and other team sports like it, you know, baseball, the NBA or basketball, those are all team sports where we know we have to put a consortium or a strategic plan together to get all of the components to win games. And I would like to just say that one of those components is the fan. However crazy your fan base is, and however, you know, when you, I want to put it this way, when you go into Boston and you go there to one of their event, you know, one of their team sport events, whether you watching New England play or you watching the Celtics play or the Red Sox play, there is a energy or atmosphere that's created by the fans, and you realize that that gives the team an edge somewhat when other people walk into their stadium or their home field. So I just want to say that there is some importance that the fans have that may allow them to do what they do to create that energy when they call up and say, you know, such and such is garbage, or, you know, they need to be fired. They play a role in that too. So I don't want to just negate the or diminish the role of the fan. They do have some, they do have some capacity in that, and that provocative type of language that the fans use is just to create a stir, so that when people come into their house, to their house, they know what that, they know what kind of energy they're getting. So I'm on the other side of that argument. Let them call up, let them create the stir and the, and the, you know, listen, I'm from Ohio. And a longtime Cleveland Browns fan, all the way from the early 80s. You know what I'm saying? You know, we call for a firing of a head coach every 2 weeks.
See, right. But Cleveland, until LeBron came, Cleveland wasn't winning until LeBron came.
And we won't win. And we won't win after LeBron, by the way. Let me just point that out. But
so America, do not follow Cleveland and calling for the coaches to be fired, because you're going to, same thing going to happen in your city that happened in Cleveland. You're not going to win. Okay? You're not going to win. But now, I mean, I get that. I get the fan part. But it's,
right.
But to me, like, it's just, to me, this is how I think it's total. Those people who are losers. If you get that emotionally invested that you are so angry that somebody has to lose their job, for you to call for that person, let the franchise cut the person. But for me, because if I do it to regular person number 22, if I do it to him, if we do that to that person, we're bad people. We're bad
people.
But
the fans don't really expect anybody to be fired. They just want to create a stir. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck,
they want, you know, they don't really – yeah, they don't really expect, and we know that these major sports team owners don't fire based on what the fans think.
Do.
They base it on
those
on,
are the losing franchises too, though. So.
Right, yeah, but they base it on profit, popularity, and who else is out there in the the availability of coaching. You know what I'm saying?
If you got a
selection of head coaches out there that are available to come to your team, then and the fans start screaming fire, 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 then you're gonna fire and try to go after that head coach.
Right.
And the biggest example was the guy that took over the Dallas Cowboys after oh my goodness! The head coach was he coached for the Miami Hurricanes before he went to
Dallas. Oh, Jimmy Jones.
Cowboys.
Are you talking about Barry?
Jimmy Jones.
When Barry Switzer? When Barry
right.
Switzer?
Well, right.
see, a lot of that was too egotistical people in Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson button heads. And I wish that would have worked as a Cowboy supporter. I wish that would work. To me, that's the difference in that one per se is. That the coach, the head coach, and the owner, neither one of them could swallow their ego in that particular
right.
situation. But for just, and I understand you being unhappy with your coach, but for I think that we're in a place, we're in a space of time and place to where we really are so heartless and so cruel, but yet so. We lose ourselves so much in sport is because the sport is our outlet from real life, and we refuse to fix real life though. So if we spend more time on fixing real life, our sports don't have to be an outlet to that extent. To me, because I feel like we put more time into seeking outlets than fixing real life.
Well, we can get back on the topic of pop culture, but it's so broad, you know what I'm saying? And we let other areas of our life seep into being a part of that pop culture because we largely control by that. You know, our spending patterns, our sleeping patterns, our entertainment patterns are all pretty much controlled by whatever trend is going on in pop culture at the time. So we do invest very heavily in that by design. I don't know that that can change other than introducing other cultural traditions and norms into that more closely engages a person into working on community and other things that are much more important and much more healthier for us. But we're never going to be able to take away that other component because we understand that recreation is also a healthy component of a component of living a healthy life too. And this is just one of, you know, we're talking about one outlet or medium when we talk about sports, but there's other areas that, you know, where pop culture leaks into our lives, and we invest a tremendous amount of time in that, you know, and those are by the things that we watch on television, you know what I'm
right.
saying, and the shows that we watch on television. So, you know, for the most part, I probably would rather somebody be watching a sporting event than watching, Housewives of Atlanta or Housewives of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Or, that kind of crap.
Somebody got to argue. I ain't going to lie. This ain't the day and the time. We can debate that. We can debate that in some aspects. But we're not this show. This show ain't the show for it. But I do get what you're saying. But it's because it's not. It's not all sports because some and it's how you play the sports and all that stuff there. But those Housewives shows are just straight dumb. So yeah.
Right. And basketball. Or here's the thing. I'd rather watch somebody watch a basketball game than watch Basketball Wives.
Dame show. Rather watch WNBA than Basketball Wives. So.
Right.
Now.
Exactly.
Now. So the other part of my rant is for you sports parents, not the good ones.
Good topic.
For you crazy sports parents, and specifically the sports parents who really think that just because your son is either on the team in good or just on the team, that you could coach the damn team better than the coach. Stop it. If you want to coach that bad, and before the season start, when they looking for coaches, sign your ass up to coach. But since you didn't, and your son or your daughter is on this team, first of all, let me say this. If your child is on the bench, that's because they're not good. We don't want to lose because we're trying to make your son feel better. If you want to make your son feel better, work with them to get better on your time. But you do not know, even if you do know more about the sport than this coach, you ain't coaching. And if you want to coach, become active, a part of the team. But if you sitting from, like I was watching, and I was watching sport, ESPN, and this coach was telling me, or this coach was talking about how this lady was on, whose mother? I forgot, it's a professional athlete. I forgot whose mother it was. But the team was winning 50-0, and the mother was complaining about how the offense was being ran, and the team is winning 50-0.
Mm.
And I'm like, lady, are you fucking? I think you owe Dak Prescott. It was Dak Prescott's mother, and no disrespect to her or whatever, but it's parents like that. Like, are you really gonna sit and the coach trying to take it funny? He laughing about it, but come on, man, you know Mo. Let's be real.
Yeah, I get
you. Know that coach wanted to cuss her ass out.
Well, absolutely, and some of these parents, from what I've seen, deserve a little bit of settling down. But I'm gonna bring this around to another point here. Some very good things that you pointed out, because one of the things that can bring this together, especially parents spending time with their child, is that when they want to join any type of activity, whether it be sporting or anything else that they're interested in, I do encourage the parents to get themselves involved in the coaching aspect of it.
Yeah.
If nothing else but to support the team, but also learn some things that you might not have known before and about the sport and how it's played, but also how to teach that overall support system. I have a best friend of mine who never watched football, but when his son wanted to go play Little League football, he decided that he was going to learn the game and be a coach out there on the sidelines because he wanted to be, that's where my son was going to be, so that's where I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to be there too, and I'm going to invest my time and energy into this as well. And that's great, and I encourage more people to get into that, and that may alleviate some of those helicopter parents that are that are out there yelling about their kids' playing time, because once a kid sees their parent invest their time in it, then they'll invest their time in getting better as well. If you know how it is, your parent out there watching you, then you're gonna you're gonna do better. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that would help out with that. So I'm 100% behind you. That's a serious topic that we need to be talking about because
you got some crazy parents.
You got some crazy parents, and not only that, you know what I'm saying? You have to understand how that makes the kid feel to have their parent on the sideline.
It makes them feel like they're lame.
Right, you know what I'm saying? So you,
I mean, look, I'm going to give you, I give you from the perspective of somebody who played. Because for me, when I played football, my whole mentality for me myself was I'm going to be on the field. I don't come off the bench. So that was for me personally, for myself. But the last thing I wanted was my mama out here trying to tell the coach how to run the team.
Yes.
Knowing my mama don't know a damn thing about football. Right, and then especially like if you're a parent and your child don't play, hey, stop begging the coach to put your child in. That's not helping your child get better. Like
no.
The child is not skilled enough to play. That's why the child is not playing. And you could sit there and say, well, my child is better than that player. My child is better than that player. And in reality, your child ain't. That's why he's not playing. That's the reality of what you as a parent can't get past yourself because that's your child.
That's that laziness because if you was out there, you know what I'm saying, with your child and doing the things that you would know exactly where your child's standing. And just like anything else that they're deficient in, if they was deficient in math, you'd be sitting down at the table with them working on math problems. If they was deficient in reading and anything else, you would be sitting down with them at the table helping them through that. So if they're deficient in a sport, then you should be out there on the field helping them with that, but you're not. Get in the ear of the coach and make it bad for it. Remember, it's a team sport. That's all I got to say.
Right. Everybody has a part to play. And your sorry child on this team out here playing right now is like a lug nut being loose on this tire going 95. We don't need that. And look, I feel bad that you paid for your child to play, but you should, like Mo said, you should evaluate the level of talent your son was at or your daughter was at before they got into this sport. Because if your child not good and they not getting off the bench, then you paid this year to watch your child sit on the bench. You paid for you and your child to get front row seats to watch this sport. And your difference between you and your child, they get to wear the uniform. But that's reality. Just like for you, parent, in life, if you are not good enough, you won't get it. You're not good enough to get the job, you're not getting the job. If you're not good enough to do the task, you're not going to do the task. It's real life, but we have to start preparing our children for real life and stop lying to them and coming with this stuff. But y'all parents, y'all overprotective parents, you're really hurting the self-esteem of your kids with this stuff because you're embarrassing the hell out of them because they know they sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And you pointing out they sorry ain't helping them.
See, no, it's not.
Your butt down, you do not know more than the coach. And if you do, why are you not coaching?
That's it.
And especially if you can acknowledge that you know nothing about the sport, all you know is, okay, all right, we'll give you some of your team. The dude that's playing in front of your child, keep messing up. Well, let's think about this. And help them out on this, Mo, right? If the child that's playing in front of your child ain't good, what that mean about your child?
You ain't shit.
There you go. Because you know when y'all out the back, y'all playing catch, he ain't catching that shit. You know that.
Right.
You put some of these, I got to keep telling these parents, especially these black parents, stop forcing your sons into sports. Stop forcing that on them. It's not your son's job to change the fortune of the family. It's your job as the damn parent. You should have had the fortune in place. Look, all right, let me not say it like that, but our job as parents, as adults, before we become parents, is to put ourselves in the best position to thrive before we have children. That's what we're supposed to do. And sometimes we don't do that. And when we don't do that, it's not the child's job to change the fortunes of the family. You do that.
I agree. Isn't that responsibility lays with each generation that's current and lay a future out for the next generation. But that's a very serious topic when we start talking about the helicopter parents that's putting their kids into a sport so that they can change the fortune of the family and what they may be giving up. So that's definitely a topic for discussion for a show. Another show.
Oh yeah. Mo, I appreciate you joining me on Fix. Hey.
I appreciate you having me.
Oh, ain't no problem. Give people your social media handles or whatever you want, the best way for people to get in contact with you and tell them what you do for a living.
You know what? I'm going to get y'all to check me out. You know what I'm saying? Go on any social media and go hashtag Mo Knows. It's MOKNOWS, Mo Knows. Hashtag. Y'all going to see everything that I put out and I have published. I'm a writer. I love to entertain. I love to get people in a position where they can tell their own stories through their own words. So everything about writing is what I love to do. So y'all check me out. It's too much for me to go in all in on everything that I do, but it's all centered around that. So y'all check it out. Hashtag Mo Knows, MOKNOWS, and y'all see a little bit of what I put out there on a daily basis. It's informational. And it's entertaining at the same time. So y'all go check me out, please.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man. So it's going down in Tallahassee. We just had Florida State Miami, which led into FAMU Homecoming. This is FAMU Homecoming 2017. It's going all the way down. So next week's show going to be real live because I got a lot of homecoming updates. So expect my HBCU spotlight to be on FAMU next week. That's all I'm saying. All
right.
Because it's homecoming. So, you know, the blackest, the realest sports podcast you've ever heard, the Fix Sports Podcast, we here right here on the Freedom Train Network. Make sure you visit us at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can get more information. Hey, follow me, Joseph Ward. Follow the Fix on Twitter, at JoeWard84. Make sure you follow the Freedom Train Network on Twitter, at Freedom Train Net. Follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Like our Freedom Train Facebook page. You can subscribe to the Freedom Train Network, to the Freedom Train Podcast, as well as the Fix, both on iTunes and Google Play. We're on YouTube. We got the Freedom Train YouTube channel. Just go to the playlist that says the Fix. That way you can catch up on all the episodes of the Fix. And like I told you about the Freedom Train Network, it's expanding. We have new shows coming. Monique and a host of other beautiful ladies are bringing the show, bringing their own perspective from a real black woman perspective that's not watered down by no white woman perspective. So that's coming to the show. That's coming to the network. So we got a lot of good stuff coming up. Hey, man, this is the Fix. I am Joseph Mo. Thank you for stopping by. Hey, y'all,
yes, sir.
Two fingers up like a player, put them down, open your heart, whatever that means, I don't know. Peace.
Like love.
I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lennox is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's